You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vidrinska from Showtime, URN's specialist musical theatre show. And you're listening to our podcast, Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date each week with all the latest theatrical news. And I've got something a little different for you this week. I have said time and time again on Showtime and on the Spotlight On podcasts how much I love a good musical TV show. Things like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and Gallivant and Smash. Heck, even something like Glee or, you know, my personal favourite, Disney's Tangled TV show. They're all a really excellent blend of TV slash cinema and theatre performance. In a way, in fact, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that most modern musical TV shows are more engaging, more successful, better executed, and overwhelmingly better cast than a lot of modern movie musicals. And I know that's a bold claim, but when you compare something like Tom Hooper's Cats or Kevin Murphy's The Prom against things like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend or Gallivant, the latter two of which both had way more input from people actually in the theatre industry, and you can definitely tell that they've had input from people in the theatre industry, I do wonder whether we're at a point where musical TV shows are or should be the new home for screen adaptations of musical theatre. Don't know whether it'll happen, just something to put out there. And it is always so exciting to see something new being released out into the world of musical television shows. And the latest addition to the bunch is Schmigadoon, which premiered on Apple TV Plus on Friday the 16th of July. It follows a couple, played by Cecily Strong and Keegan-Michael Key, who, during a hapless camping trip as a desperate attempt to save their failing relationship, they cross a bridge and accidentally find themselves trapped in a magical town called Schmigadoon, where everyone and everything exists as if it's a Golden Age movie musical. The characters soon discover that they can't leave until they found true love, and so must succumb to the joys and frustrations of everyone around them spontaneously bursting into song at any moment. Now, I'm not gonna lie, sounds like an absolute dream to me, but obviously the couple find themselves facing far more trials and tribulations as they seek to escape Schmigadoon. I mean, it's all very tongue-in-cheek and fun, but it does mean, unsurprisingly, that you get these fabulous parodies of all our favourite Golden Age musicals. I mean, the title and premise of the show is a spoof of the 1947 Broadway musical Brigadoon. The song that introduces everyone to the town of Schmigadoon is a really obvious parody of Oklahoma from Oklahoma. There's a more adult version of Do Re Mi from The Sound of Music. Like, it really does strike me as a love letter to musicals of that kind. So, excellent news if you're a fan of those. And then on top of all of that, the cast is as star-studded as they come. And when I say star-studded, I don't mean a few random celebrities. James Corden is not in this. I mean actual theatre performers. I've already mentioned Keegan-Michael Key and Cecily Strong as the main characters, Josh and Melissa, but they're joined by the likes of Hamilton's Ariana DeBose as the whip-smart schoolmistress, Dove Cameron as a blonde bombshell waitress, Alan Cumming as the mayor of Schmigadoon, the incomparable Jane Krakowski as this fancy baroness, currently Tony-nominated, soon-to-be Tony-winning, and constant Showtime favourite Aaron Tveit as the local bad boy, and not to mention, of course, the icing on the cake, Broadway legend Kristin Chenoweth as the villain of the piece. I mean, this is the creme de la creme, isn't it? I will put a couple of videos here in the post just to give you a flavour of the television show, but really, where can you possibly go wrong with a cast like that? I will say that I have been seeking out reviews left, right and centre since it came out on Friday. And if you are already a fan of musical theatre, then it's a pretty safe bet that you'll absolutely love this. The West End theatre community have gone mad for Schmigadoon on Twitter already. And the editor of What's On Stage gave the series 4 stars in his review, which I've linked here as well. By comparison, Lucy Mangan, writing for The Guardian, only gave it 2 stars, but by her own admission, she is a musicals novice, so I do kind of get the feeling that it's a show being tailored for people who already enjoy this kind of over-the-top golden age musical vibe, which I will say I don't think is a bad thing. It's quite nice, all things considered, to get a show that is so obviously aimed at fans rather than losing what makes it special to appeal to more of a mass market, which I think has been the problem with a lot of recent movie musicals. And also, like, to be fair, you're here with me listening to a musical theatre podcast. I think it's a relatively safe bet to say you're probably not going to be turned off by a surprise musical number, are you? But all that being said, I really wanted to give a proper review of Schmigadoon on Spotlight On this week, so you can get a proper feel for the show and decide whether you want to give it a watch or not. Unfortunately, as I said earlier, it's out on Apple TV Plus, and I don't have a subscription to that. Or rather, I don't have one yet. My plan is to wait for the entire series of Schmigadoon to be released over the next few weeks and then get a month subscription or even a 3 weeks trial that they offer and just binge watch it all then. Just, you know, something to think about as an option for yourself too. But I still wanted to be able to give you a proper insight into the show. And so, for one night only, my partner in crime and Showtime co-host, PR Abby, is joining me to give her take on Schmigadoon instead. She has Apple TV Plus, she's watched the first 2 episodes that came out on Friday, and here's what she thought.
I was going in with quite high expectations, I have to say, because of the level of names involved with it. So you're expecting a lot of stuff from it. So I think for the first episode, while it was still establishing itself, I think I went into it and I was cautious at the first episode. I didn't really know if I would really enjoy it, but I think the second episode I enjoyed more. So if you watch and are uncertain with the first episode, I'd say give it another one, because I think it found its feet a bit more in the second episode.
What was it about the second episode that you think that's where it came into its own?
I think they had established a few of the key characters, and I have to say, there's like a lot that is good with it. It's got a very crazy ex-girlfriend sensibility, which American musical comedy TV, you're kind of expecting that. And, you know, with all of the songs are a bit tongue-in-cheek and things like that. But I felt, with the first episode, it was a little bit obvious, some of the stuff. Some of the songs, because, you know, it's making fun of, like, the 40s musicals and it's, like, parodying a lot of stuff. But I felt it could maybe do with being subtler, which I don't know for an American TV show if that's going to be, like, their forte.
We're looking at an American musical TV show, Abby.
No.
Subtle isn't even in the dictionary.
No. Like, the costuming's great, the scenery and production design is fantastic, the cast are all going for it, and you can tell they're having, like, such a fun time. And there are so many, like, specifically for me, Kristen Chenoweth as this sort of villain character. She's called Mrs. Layton. She's the pastor's wife. And she, like, does not like these city folk coming into her town. And she's clearly having, like, the best time playing it. And Aaron Tveit, one of the notes I made was actually Aaron Tveit, Danny Bailey, wearing the highest trousers known to man. They are. And there's a point in the second episode where she goes, "You've got really high-waisted trousers." And I was like, thank you. Someone had to point it out. So, like, a lot of positives. But I think, for me, the setup of the series is there's Melissa and Josh. Melissa's an OBGYN. Josh is a surgeon. They meet in the hospital. You get to see their meet cute. It's like, oh, it's adorable. And then you get, like, really quick succession, a little bit about their relationship. And I think, weirdly, it relies for something that's like making fun of like, oh, the stereotypical musicals, you know, and we're gonna parody all these songs and stuff. They've set it up as woman wants to further and deepen the relationship and really loves these old school musicals. There's even a clip of her watching Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers dancing. And then you have Josh, the man who like hates musicals, and he's just like, why can't we just stay as we are? And I think weirdly, if they'd pushed that further and like done a bit more of trying to make them a bit more complicated, or a bit more like maybe even just saying Josh is the one who really likes musicals and Melissa's the one who hates them, like even just that simple swap would have maybe helped a lot more with what they're trying to do with the show, or at least what I'm thinking mm-hmm. they're trying to do with the show, which is, you know, show how these musicals kind of don't fit into the modern age, but kind of also have that, like, nostalgic feel to them.
Yeah, I'll say from, you know, watching trailers and clips so far, I feel like they've done a really good job of capturing, certainly in the songs and the sort of the routine and the costuming, like the staging of it, they've done such a good job of capturing that golden age of musicals feel. Like the title song Schmigadoon is so clearly a parody of Oklahoma from Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma, and I think that's really great to see as a musical fan. But do you think that maybe as the episodes progress they are going to at least attempt a sort of a better blending of here's this modern day couple with their own difficulties and their own trials and tribulations and their own modern sensibilities. Here's the old-fashioned musical theatre, everything's jolly and brilliant vibe. At the moment, it feels like it's a bit superficially put together. Do you think there is space for that to develop over the next few episodes? Because we've only seen the first two so far.
Yeah, and I really hope so. There's a wonderful bit where Aaron Tveit, he has this his like opening number. He does this wonderful like dance number, and it's great. But then Melissa asks, like, oh, what a wonderful song, because at the start they're obviously like, oh, this is just in like an elaborate setup, like, you know, a Renaissance fair where everyone's like pretending and answer. She goes, that's such a lovely song. He goes, what song? And you're like, oh no. But then in the second episode, and this isn't a spoiler, but Melissa gets to have a song, and you know, so I think they are blending the two, and it's how far, I guess, into the world they're gonna get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, they've got a couple of heavy hitters in terms of acting wise. Like, we haven't seen Jane Krakowski yet, and so I'm really excited for her to turn up. And you know, you're kind of I hope that it will sort of that they're starting with them really separate. And it's going to become much messier towards the end and a lot more blended.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And actually, I like the fact that you've mentioned that, oh, that was a really nice song moment. And then he doesn't realise that there was a song. I've seen that in the trailer. And I wonder if they're trying to be sort of very meta, almost like a double bluff about this. Because one of the criticisms that so often gets levied against musicals, whether it's on stage, whether it's on TV, whether it's in film, one of the criticisms that so often gets said by people who don't like musical theatre is, but it's so unbelievable, everyone just bursts into song. And as a fan of musical theatre, as something, dare I say, of a connoisseur of musical theatre, you have to bear in mind that the characters don't know that they're singing. The progression is, you know, if you can't speak it, then you sing it. If you can't sing it, then you dance it. And that's the progression in musical theatre. It's, to me, it's no different than, like, Hamlet turning to the audience and having his soliloquy. Or, you know, if we look at, like, the Marvel films, all these choreographed fight sequences. Like, it's just musical theatre's equivalent to have a song. And the fact that they've kind of got that tongue-in-cheek moment in the first episode, I wonder if that's going to come into play as the series develops, where it's kind of a love letter to musical theatre, but also this wink to the audience, this understanding that we know people find this annoying and we're going to capitalise on that, but also win you over at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's going to be epitomised by Keegan-Michael Key's character Josh, because he literally says in the opening number where they're like, welcome to Schmigadoon, Keegan-Michael Key's character Josh goes, but it's just not believable. And it's like, but you're trapped in one now. So I think as soon as he starts singing, we'll know that we've been got, I think.
I quite like that as well, though, because so many of these old-fashioned musicals, this golden age of musical theatre, more so a lot than modern musicals that we have, like, the plots at first glance seem quite superficial, quite predictable often. You tend to have a man and a woman, there's something keeping them apart, and then, like, through the course of a song and dance number, they fall in love. And, like, Rodgers and Hammerstein, I'm sorry, but, like, they are absolutely the epitome of that relationship. And from what I've seen, a lot of the songs in Schmigadoon parody Rodgers and Hammerstein's music. More specifically, you know, things like Oklahoma, things like Carousel, Sound of Music, stuff like that. And I wonder if that was very intentionally done to take this couple, one of whom hates musical theatre with a passion, but who are modern and complicated and different, and to put them in that setting of the old-fashioned movie musical and kind of strip everything back, make it a really simple though still dynamic story where it's like it is about the quest for true love and finding yourself along that journey, all those sort of cliches. But I kind of feel like the golden age of musicals is the perfect platform for that kind of story, and it'll be nice to see how that ties in.
Yeah, it does seem from the first two episodes that's kind of the storyline that they're going with is, but I'd be really interested to see whether or not there's a twist at the end, whether or not there's a, but you think it's all gonna be, you know, all good and everyone's in love, and I'm really intrigued to see where it goes. Also, because it's only six episodes, so it's not one of these really long American series. They've got a relatively tight amount of time to do all this stuff in. So I'm going to be I'm really kind of interested to see where they go with it.
I think that sort of tight amount of time actually could work really well for this. Do you feel from the first two episodes that you've seen, was it well paced? Was there a nice balance between sort of the songs and the dialogue? Because I know I've watched movie musicals in particular. I think musical television shows actually get around this quite well, but movie musicals in particular, you can feel like there's loads of songs really close together and then it's really, really drawn out and you're just like, guys, come on, give us another song.
Point.
Do you feel like this TV show is more balanced than that, better paced?
Yeah, I think because you don't have to pack in as much of like plot in one episode as you would in a movie. It seems, I wasn't like, oh, that's like a song like unexpectedly, or Jesus Christ, you are talking forever. There was a lovely bit. There's a lovely bit in the second episode where Alan Cumming, the mayor, is doing his song, and then the music starts up again, and Melissa goes, "Oh, reprise," which I think you will really like, Ella. But yeah, so I think it's paced pretty well, and as well because they are the characters in the town are pretty stock characters, like. People in modern day will recognise them really easily. It means that they can get into the plot a lot quicker because you're just like, oh yeah, I know who these people are, I know what they're doing, I know what they're intended to be. And yeah, so I think one of the things levelled at it probably by people who don't like musical theatre is we don't get to learn much about Melissa and Josh prior to jumping into Schmigadoon. But I think there's enough for you to like get a handle on it, and if you like musicals, you're just like, right, yeah, no, I know where we're at. Let's go. Let Kristen Chenoweth sing, please.
Well, I guess that has to be the next question then. Do you think this is a show just for people who already like musicals, or do you think it has the potential to win over those who are adamant that musicals are the worst thing in the world? I am not one of those people. In case you hadn't noticed.
Really? I don't think you mentioned it that much, do you like musicals? But it's good to know. I mean, I'll add that to the list of things Ella likes. I think it'd be interesting. I think like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, it will probably win over a couple of people who are on the fence. Mm-hmm. Because it's very much, the music is still 40s, but the lyrics are very tongue-in-cheek. So perhaps that could bring some people over to the correct side, which is loving musicals. But I don't know whether or not it would convert the hard of heart, who are very adamant. I think it because of the references in it, like, I know that I don't know all the references. There's probably hundreds that people could pick out. But even so, I know vaguely what it's referencing. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's like that. And that's kind of, I can piece it together in my head by, like, sort of the stock musical theatre, in inverted quotes, sound. And I think maybe if that's what people don't like, it's going to be difficult to get them to join us, unfortunately. But who knows? Maybe. If Mark Commode says he likes it, we know we're winning. So, Mark, it's up to you.
Send a very strongly worded email. Be like, Mark, like, come on, lad.
Admit.
You know what to do. So thank you so much for offering your insight into this. I'm really looking forward to watching it. As I've said, I'm going to wait until the entire series is out and then binge my way through it. I'm not sure I had the patience to wait a week in between each episode. But I have to ask, Abby, while I've got you here, if you were out for a walk and you crossed a bridge and you ended up in a movie musical, how'd you find it? Would it be for you, or would you be a Josh in all of this?
I think I would just be subsumed by it. I would admit defeat immediately, put on a nice fully dressed, just be like, fine, yeah, no, I'm good. Because, yeah, I would just commit. I'd just commit to it. Because I think you have to at that point. Like, if there's no way out apart from finding true love, which if it's Aaron Tveit, I'm very happy with. yeah, let's go for it. Let's find out and see.
You've already got your tap shoes packed in the rucksack when you set out.
I'm just running over every bridge in Leeds. I'm just seeing if one's there, okay?
Just in case. I'm ready. I'm ready at any moment.
Just in case.
Thanks again to the wonderful PR Abby for giving us her insight into Schmigadoon, the brand new musical TV series that's available to watch now on Apple TV Plus. Check out the videos here in the post if you want to find out more about Schmigadoon, as well as hearing some of the songs from it, which, if you're a fan of Golden Age musicals, you are guaranteed to love. I've been singing Corn Pudding all week. I cannot get it out of my head. Highly recommend. But on that note, I will say goodbye for now. I will, of course, be back next Sunday at 7 p.m. with a brand new episode of Spotlight On. So come back then to find out exactly what's going on in the world of theatre. Because, as we say, the showtime must go on. Until then, good night.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.